Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The basis for the sermon is from the New Testament lesson in the book of 1 John chapter 4, and especially verses 7 through 11, where John writes, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." This is God's word. About 2,000 years ago, in the spring of the year, kind of like now where the temperature is in the 60s and 70s, the winter and spring rains would have begun to recede, and cloudless days would have become more common. And it would have been a very nice time of the year for people to walk some distance and walk up to Jesus and ask him questions, to see for themselves who this famed rabbi of Israel was. And one such person was a rich young man who came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus quotes most of the Ten Commandments, and this man says, "All these I have kept since I was a boy." Now, if I were Jesus, and I most certainly am not, but if I were in Jesus' situation, I'd be a little irritated. I mean, who of us can honestly say that since I was a young boy or since I was a young girl, I have kept all of God's commandments, you know, commandments 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, no problem with any of them. I'm ready for heaven now. No, you kind of want to grab the guy by the shoulders and shake him up a little bit and say, "Who do you think you are? I mean, is your nose getting cold up there so high in the clouds? How about you come back down to earth with the rest of us and admit you have flaws and you sin just like the rest of us, and then maybe we can have an honest, intelligible conversation." But Jesus does nothing of the sort. The Holy Spirit inspired this gospel writer to say, to record, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Doesn't it just take your breath away? I mean, if anybody had the right to judge this man, it was Jesus. If anybody had the right to knock this man down a few notches, and Jesus sure could do it, it was Jesus. But Jesus doesn't do that. He looks at this man with the love that defines himself. And not too long after that spring day, Jesus would look at his executioners as he was being nailed to the cross, not with disgust, but with that same look of love, and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Jesus said that, and he looked with love because of one reason. Because Jesus is God, and John writes today in our text, God is love. It was Jesus' very nature to look on that man with love. It was part of Jesus' very being to match hate with forgiveness when he was pinned to the cross. As we take a look today at Jesus' love, at God's love, let us see this is love. Let us see why it is so needed, and let us see what it is. Before we talk about what this love is, this love Jesus has and this love Jesus asks us to have, before we talk about that, I first want to talk about why this love is so needed. So Jesus asks us to love one another, and certainly we should be willing to do that just because God asks us to, because God is not like some parent leaning over us and saying, do this and don't ask any questions about it. I mean, God lowers himself from heaven down to our level and takes upon himself to explain himself. And he does this in verse 9 of our text. He says, this is how God showed his love among us. If you take a look at our text, notice where the period is. If you put a period before that, it makes it sound like this is a completely new thought. But that statement, this is how God showed his love among us, it is just as much tied to what came before as it is tied to what comes after it. And I want you to ask yourself this question. How has God shown his love among us? Let's go back to the beginning of our text in verse 7 and ask ourselves this question. How has God shown his love among us? Is the beginning of our text an answer to that question? John writes, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. So in other words, is God's love for the whole world made known through our Christ-centered and Christ-powered love for others? Is this how God has chosen to make his love known? Well, certainly. Let's continue in the text. And again, ask yourself this question. Is this how God showed his love among us? John writes, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And please pay careful attention to those last two phrases, born of God and knows God. So in other words, has God shown his love among us by giving us new life in our baptism? Has he shown his love among us by bringing us to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior? Well, yes and yes. But now to really get to the heart of why this love God gives us is so needed, I want to translate verse 9 in a little different way. John writes, in this, the love of God has been revealed through us. And what love of God has been revealed through us? The very specific message of God's love that John continues with, which I'll translate also in a different way. John says, the Son of God, his only begotten Son, God sent him into the world. So this wonderful message that God the Father sent God the Son into the world to die for the sins of the whole world, your sins, my sins, and everyone else's sins, God has chosen to make this message known through us. God has chosen to make this love known through us. God brings this love to the world. This love from God comes to the world through us. This love for God for the whole world comes to 7 billion people on the earth who expect to see flesh and bone and blood and or flesh and bone and real hands and feet and faces, who all show them the love of Christ. No one will know the love of Jesus unless they see the love of Jesus in you. No one will see Jesus in heaven unless they see Jesus in your smile or in your tears that you share with them. Now, maybe you're a little puzzled right now because God doesn't bring people to faith through us loving them. Faith comes through the message. I agree. But why would we separate the message of Jesus from the love of Jesus. That's like trying to separate Jesus' message from his actions. You know, like trying to separate the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, trying to separate that from what happened right afterward. Jesus coming down from that mount, or more like a hill, and loving a leprous man, and saying to this leprous man nothing more than be clean, and then don't tell anyone. The message of Jesus and the actions of Jesus are both Jesus. You can't separate them from each other. The message of Jesus, sharing the message of Jesus with someone, is in itself an act of love. And it is these acts of love, where we show care and concern for people, that builds up our relationship with someone so that we feel comfortable and are a point in the relationship where we can share the message of Jesus with them. I mean, the old adage has a lot of truth to it. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So we must show love to people if the message of Christ is going to continue. I was talking a few weeks ago with a young lady, we'll call her Jane, and she had a coworker whom we'll call Sue. Sue had just lost her little baby girl. The baby girl was born very prematurely, lived for a little while, but then did not, died from an infection. And everyone at work knew it. But no one at work knew what to say, if they should acknowledge it, how they should act around her. So Jane walked up to Sue, and she said, "I just wanted to say how sorry I am to hear of your loss in your baby girl. I myself am a mother, and I can't imagine the pain you must be going through right now. Can I pray for you?" Sue said yes, she would appreciate that. And a couple weeks later, Jane walked up to Sue's desk again and let her know that she's been praying for her and asked her how she was doing. And Sue thanked her, and Jane invited her to go out to lunch. They went to lunch. They enjoyed it. They went to lunch a few more times. Jane invited Sue to come to worship with her. Sue went. Sue went again. And now Sue is a member of Jane's congregation, a member who knows that Jesus loves her and died for her and paid for her sins because the love of Jesus filled Jane's heart and let it pour into her relationships. It's just one story. I'm sure you have your own. So we can see why this love Jesus asks us to have is so important for the people around us. But why is this love so important for us, to show love and care and concern for one another? Well, because Jesus lives there. When we show love to someone, Jesus is there. John wrote that. He said, "God is love." So I'm not seeing anyone disagreeing. So how about we move on to how we do this? How do we show this love? Or to ask it differently, what is this love? John has an answer for that too. He says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Love comes from God. Please notice how significant that is. It's not just as if God is saying, "Hey, all the ways you show love to one another, do more of that, because I like it when you do that." No, that's not bad. But John is saying more than that. Look at Jesus. Look at all the ways he showed love to all the people around him. Look at him showing love and concern for the poor, feeding them two different times with a bit of bread and fish. Look at Jesus showing care and concern for the sick, healing them more times than the gospel writers can account for. Look at Jesus just taking pleasure in hanging out with people, having supper with them, spending the night at their house, listening to their stories. Take a look at Jesus embracing certain death as he walked up to Jerusalem for the last time, knowing that it meant his certain death, and in that, our certain life from death, because he nailed our sins to the cross. I don't know how we can hardly object to an encouragement to love Jesus more or to use Jesus as our example, not expecting any of us to. So let's talk about some of the things that get in the way of loving one another. Can we start with children? It is good for children to hang out with each other, to talk with each other, to socialize with each other, to get to know each other, to play with each other, to let these little children of their Heavenly Father let their lights shine with each other and let their lights shine with other children who do not know Jesus. Do your children have the freedom to do that? I mean, our Lutheran elementary school is a wonderful way for children to be connected to each other, but it shouldn't be, and it can't be the only way we do that. Do children have the freedom to be connected to each other? I mean, we rush them off to this game and rush them off to this practice and rush them off to that rehearsal and this lesson, and there's nothing bad about any of those things. But a parent must always have a healthy balance with a programmed schedule and a free schedule so that a kid has the freedom to go on a bike ride with the other kids, to go swimming with the other kids, to get together at the park and play tag or capture the flag or soccer or chase the ice cream truck around the neighborhood and pay exorbitant amounts of money for a frozen treat that you could pay the price for and get a whole box of them at the store. But you know, kids love it. I don't think this is just about being nostalgic about what the good old days should be for kids. I think it is about kids, it is part of kids being brothers and sisters in Christ to each other. I think of the kids I grew up with, where entertainment and movies and video games was part of our time with each other, but it didn't dominate our time together. We still had plenty of opportunity to always get to know each other better. So now, even today, when one of my friends has just lost his father, it's natural to call him and talk to him about it. When one of my other friends has just gone through a divorce, it's easy to ask him how he's doing. Well, how about adults? Is it easy for adults to be connected to each other? Is it natural for adults to show care and concern for each other? Well, I can tell you this. That if you want to have a good time, you don't need anyone. I mean, you can fill your whole house with all the toys and TVs you want. You can drive anywhere. You can see anything. You can do anything. And you don't need anyone else to have a good time. I mean, with all the blessings God gives us, it's easy to see less and less reason to see anyone else, to be connected with anyone else. And every Christian of every age needs to always learn to use the blessings God has given us and make them serve Christ. Our deacon of communication and deacon of evangelism are working together with me to restart our fellowship committee, to give the members at Faith as many opportunities as possible to hang out with each other, to talk with each other, to ask each other how you're doing. so that we as the body of Christ can do what Jesus asks us to do, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, especially on Sunday morning in worship together, but then also to love your neighbor as yourself on Sunday morning and outside of Sunday morning. Now, I don't mean to downplay at all the many, many relationships our members have with other members and our members have with others. They are many. They are a joy and an encouragement to see. They are a blessing. But I do know that this statement resonates with some of you because some of you have told it to me. That it's easy to get lost in a large church. No, there are many, many blessings to being part of a group of believers, of all the awesome things we can accomplish as a group of about 1,000 believers. But it's easy to get lost. I pray today that we all, myself most definitely included, will redouble our efforts to talk to someone new, to maybe sit in a different pew so you can talk to someone else after the service. You don't have to do it every Sunday. To go and talk to someone else in addition to the regular group of people that you or I talk to. To introduce yourself to someone new at work. To go and say hi to a different neighbor, so that way, hopefully in the future, you feel comfortable just inviting them to come and worship with you. To look for as many opportunities as possible to love one another as Christ has loved us. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that goes beyond all our knowledge and understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.